For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get to some other things. We have talked about this before. For people who have listened to this program, you know that I have been very loud in my support for college athletes and their right to earn money based on, we'll just use name, image, likeness, but frankly, who they are. There is value in being the college athlete. And I've been talking about this not just for the last 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. I've been talking about it for like 5 years or longer. Because if you go back to Marcus Page, when he was at North Carolina, who didn't really have a pro future, or use RJ Davis or Jeremy Roach, the time to realize your value in the marketplace is while you're in school and you have actual value. Well, that's an NIL deal. There's another part of this. And now that it is flat out pay for play in college and the courts can't do anything about it, why couldn't a player, an athlete, like Nick Dunlap, the golfer at Alabama, who won a PGA Tour event and then turned pro, why couldn't he stay at Alabama and just make money? Well, Rhys Brantmeyer is a tennis player at the University of North Carolina, felt the same way, but it's not allowed. Jason Miller is an attorney with Miller, Monroe, and Plyler, sorry, can't read, here in town, and he joins us on the Adam Gold Show. He's Rhys Brantmeyer's attorney. This seems like the living, breathing definition of NIL or pay for play. Why is the NCAA against this? Why are they fighting it? And why are they inviting another loss in court?
Adam, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about what I think is a very noble cause and one that I think most people will agree with. And I hope at some point the NCAA will agree with it. You got the firm name correct. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Miller, Monroe, and Plyler.
It was not easy for me. It's the end of a long day.
No, I appreciate it. We're a commercial litigation sports law firm in town, and we've partnered with our friends at Milberg, Dan Bryson and his team, to bring this action. It's a antitrust class action suit against the NCAA. And the case, as you said, deals with a pretty narrow issue. It is whether an individual athlete, college athlete, an individual sport, can retain earnings that they have when they compete in non-NCAA events. So, for example, the U.S. Open.
Right.
And, you know, some of these athletes, Rhys, for example, we're talking $40,000 or $50,000 in her case. Some of these athletes, it is, you know, $200,000
and $300,000.
Yep. For athletes where there's no guaranteed future in a professional tennis or professional golf, swimming, track and field, those sorts of sports. And so what we're saying is, you know, the NCAA is allowing folks to earn a whole lot of income based on their NIL, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowing Olympians to be paid
right.
for medals. They allow, if certain organizations call it a grant, they allow athletes to keep a grant. What the difference between a grant and prize money, I don't exactly fully understand.
Right.
But this is the narrow case where, you know, there's still archaic rules in place that say, look, we're going to allow you to play in the U.S. Open.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. I was on your website, and I love the term financial termites because there are always things eating at your money that you can't see.
So you don't want financial termites. Termites in the financial world are risk, fees, unnecessary commissions. All the bad things that we see and we hear about on TV are happening many times inside your portfolio you don't see. So you need a financial exterminator. Well, for the next 10 of you who call, we'll put together for you your very own total retirement plan at no cost.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
But if you win money, you can't keep it, because that would destroy the concept of amateurism, which we all know is long gone.
Right. I mean, Jason Miller is joining us here. Reese Brantmeyer's attorney, the UNC tennis player who wants to play in outside NCAA events and earn money doing so, which, again, makes perfect sense to those of us who have looked at this. What I'm curious about is how the NCAA has argued back with you, how they square the recent lawsuit where the attorneys general in Virginia and Tennessee, I believe, sued the NCAA and won in court that they're not even allowed to enforce their own rule about pay for play. So it's actually against the rules, but now they can't even, am I missing that there is a difference here? It seems like they're just not allowed to enforce it anyway. How are they still holding the line on this?
The walls are shaking, the ceiling's falling in, the chandelier's hanging down. They're trying to keep the thing up. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I can't explain it. How do you allow, and we're not against NIL payments. We think it's a good development in the law.
Yeah.
And we're not against the other compensation folks receive. This is not asking pay for play. We're not saying, hey, you, the school, need to pay these athletes. That's not what this case is about. This is, they've gone elsewhere, and they've earned the money, and you're making them give it back. And in Reese's case, I mean, it's particularly egregious. I mean, she was allowed to keep her actual expenses. She was a high school junior,
right?
16 years old. And the NCAA, before she gets to Carolina, they do an audit of her expenses, and they say, hey, we can't guarantee you're going to be eligible until we complete this audit. And, of course, UNC sits her rather than face the wrath of the NCAA. And, you know, they go back and look and say, hey, you're 16 years old, but, you know, you stayed in a hotel room. Your mother was there with you. You really should have deducted 50% of her cost. You took an Uber with your mother. You really should have deducted 50% of that Uber ride. I mean, this is the kind of things we're talking about in today's day and age.
The NCAA, is this the IRS or the NCAA doing this?
That's a good question.
I mean, the idea is
they would take on somebody in, you know, a high school, a 16-year-old coming in, a freshman in college, by the time this actually gets decided, in a non-revenue sport. You
right.
know, somebody that it doesn't have a guaranteed future. And frankly, how long is a tennis career? Even if you do have a guaranteed future, she's got an opportunity to make real money. It doesn't cost the school anything.
Right.
It doesn't cost the NCAA anything. And by the way, it benefits them tremendously. Is it not better for the NCAA to have their athletes knowing that they can stay in school, get an education, participate in the NCAA system, but earn enough money to be able to fund additional participation in tennis tournaments
right.
or practice or a coach? I mean, how does that hurt the NCAA?
I have been arguing for a long time that could you imagine if they allowed Michelle Wee to play professional golf events while she was at like an enrolled student living in the dorms at Stanford? If they had allowed that, Katie Ledecky, maybe the greatest female swimmer of all time. I don't even know if I should use the word maybe, has not been able to compete for Stanford or would not be able been able to compete for Stanford if she earned money outside of that. Like, why can't we have both? It would raise the level of awareness for college sports, which I believe is probably a good thing and benefits all parties. Do you see this ever getting to court? And because it's an antitrust suit, whatever monetary damages would be trebled. What is the NCAA's exposure here? Or are you just suing for access?
Well, you know, the key to our case, this is not a case that we're out there pursuing money. We're not even seeking damages in this case, which is, you know, quite a differentiator.
Yeah.
It was something that for our firm, Miller, Monroe & Plyler, was important to take on a noble case and one that we could believe in. Reese is pursuing a change in the rule. She doesn't have her hand out. She's not saying, hey, I want what y'all owe me or what you took away from me
right.
going back in time. She's simply coming forward to try to stop this for, you know, for herself and what eligibility she has left and for future student athletes. But the definition of a student athlete shouldn't be whether you earn money on a side hustle, because the definition ought to be whether you are an active student, whether
right.
you do the work, whether you take the test, whether you maintain your eligibility. Why are we worried about whether she earns some money up there at the U.S. Open? Do we worry about art students that sell their art not being students?
Music students that play in a band and get paid $150 for a Friday night at a bar?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Agreed.
And you're right.
I think that this is all going to come down. The NCAA's answer's due coming up here in about 30 days. We'll see what they do with it. Maybe they'll fight us to the hilt on it. We're sort of expecting they will. But we hope, since we are not seeking a big pile of money, since we're seeking to have a rule change that everyone agrees is sort of absurd in today's world, we're trying to have a change so that these student athletes don't have to face the same trials that Reese had to face. And you mentioned a minute ago, that this is the time for these athletes to make money. Reese blew her knee out.
Oh, wow.
About a month ago, she had surgery. And she's fighting hard. She's coming back. But there's no guarantees here.
That's right. There is no guarantee in a pro career. Yeah, so, you should – maybe you should amend the lawsuit to get some cash from the NCAA. Jason Miller from Miller, Monroe & Plyler. All right, while I have you, since this is also your area of expertise. I read, I guess it was late last week, that there is some rumor of a brokered arrangement between ESPN, the ACC, and Florida State and Clemson, who are seeking legal remedies for what they believe to be a bad television deal, which limits their media revenue to about half of what they're going to get, what they could get in the SEC or the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. The way I look at the story, it's that ESPN is essentially forcing the ACC to agree to this. If the ACC says no, do they have legal remedy against ESPN?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The irony here is this is all based in contract, right? You enter a contract, and courts are going to assume sophisticated parties like the ACC and Florida State and Clemson, ESPN, they all have teams of lawyers. They all know what they're doing.
Right.
They go into these deals wide open, and they've got to sort of honor those obligations. I mean, the irony of this thing is Florida State and Clemson, I mean, the idea that they were somehow taken advantage of, that they didn't see this coming or that they shouldn't be held to their contracts is – it's a little strange, a little absurd.
Right.
The teams of lawyers put these things together. The NCAA has, allowed these conferences to, go out and form up contracts in whatever way they see fit with their member institutions. They form the contracts. Everybody sings the praises of how much money they're going to make and ensures the long-term stability of the conference. And then, a few years later, they sort of change their mind and say, shoot, the wind has changed, and we don't want to honor our obligations anymore. And so it is a little odd. Odd might not be the right word, but
right.
that Florida State and Clemson wouldn't want to honor their obligations. But to answer your question, it sort of depends on what ESPN and ACC have in terms of a contract as to what ESPN can force. What outs do either side have? Is the contract terminable by either party if certain metrics are not met?
Right.
And so without actually seeing the contract, none of us will really know what kind of leverage does ESPN have here. Hopefully the ACC's lawyers and the institutions did a good enough job to ensure that ESPN is bound to pay the amounts they've committed to pay and that they can't sort of terminate it at will or get out of it if certain metrics aren't hit, so that ESPN doesn't have that sort of leverage. Without seeing those deals, we really don't know at this point.
All right, so hypothetically, there is an out in the contract after, I believe, either 26 or 27, where ESPN could, if they choose to not pick up the option, the contract would end there, thus ending the grant of rights, which ties Florida State and Clemson to the league and everybody else to the ACC at that point. If ESPN tells Jim Phillips, you either agree to this or we're not picking up the option, is that what is that considered?
Yeah, so the way that I think that would happen, we're both speculating right now. Yeah. Neither of us is in the room, right? But we're sort of guessing as to how this is playing out. I am certain that the good folks at ESPN are smart enough not to make any kind of threats or to make any other coercive statements.
Right.
That if you don't do this, we're going to do this. But they could be suggestive in nature that, hey, you know, folks at ACC, we've got a renewal coming up, and we're really going to have to think long and hard about whether we want to do that if y'all don't play ball on this other thing. And so I'm sure there are, you know, ESPN holds the strings. They're the purse strings.
Right.
They decide who's going to be generating the money. And with that power, it gives the ability to sort of control the process. And so it would not shock me at all if ESPN was trying to broker a deal that saves their golden cash.
Yeah.
And that ensures that their product is viable and that their advertising dollars are going to continue to flow. But in terms of whether they're, forcing that deal, I'd be really shocked if ESPN was dictating to the ACC or to Florida State or Clemson or anyone else that you're going to do this, because that would potentially expose them.
Oh yeah, that just seems like, and ESPN has a vested interest in both leagues damaging one to benefit another, and you have both doesn't hurt your bottom line, but it definitely hurts half of the schools in question and their bottom line over time. So we'll see how this whole thing works out. Jason Miller, I appreciate Reese Brantmeyer's attorney with Miller, Monroe, and Plyler. I appreciate your time, and we will do it again, sir.
Adam, very much appreciate your time. Have a great afternoon.
You too.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.